Good morning, everyone. I'm Mark Parsons, pastor of Great Hope Christian Fellowship Church here in Tampa, and good morning to all of us who are with us here today in this body. The words that I had received for this year's theme, we've been doing this for a few years now, just looking to the Lord for a theme, and keep in mind that whenever we say theme, that is good forever, as well as all of our other themes. They are good forever because they're the Word of God. It's just something for us to be encouraged by, meditate upon, and to strive to apply the importance of the message in our lives 24/7 in this new year of 2014. So that's where we're coming from. You do not have to have a theme. It's not dictated by God or mandated by God. It's just something we do to encourage one another, and we think about it during the course of the year and testify as to the effects of it and the importance of it and all those things. But our theme for this year is Stand By Me, and that is capital M-E. So if you would read with me the essence of what I feel, I was really seeking God, what's going on here with this theme. And he can give something, but how many of you know that the unfolding of God's Word gives us wisdom and understanding? The unfolding of God's Word. It says so in Psalm 119, 130. It gives light. The unfolding of God's Word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. And when it says simple, it doesn't mean dummies. It's talking about the humble, those who are open to receive. The unfolding of God's words gives light. So, Lord, what do you mean by stand by me? And this is what I had received. In seeking God for a theme for this year of 2014, I heard several times, stand by me, capital M-E. I asked God for the meaning and understanding of these words. I understood that it is a clarion call to diligently draw near to God, to listen and receive revelation and be built up in Christ Jesus. The reason, and this is what the essence of this, because the enemy of God's people, Satan, has greatly increased his evil and malicious assault on his glorious church. Is that not so? I mean, we see that every day in the paper. We see things coming against what God has said is banned, especially the sexual orientations and the abortionists and all these people and all these things that these lobby groups are so much wanting to support. Is an avalanche of it going on. Satan has increased his assault against his church. I also received further clarification and amplification that these words, our message, are calling God's people to stand in him, on him. And Jesus is the foundation. When we say standing on him, we stand on the solid rock because Jesus is the foundation. He's the cornerstone that was rejected by the builders and became the chief cornerstone of the building. Standing for him, standing near him, and to abide faithfully committed to obey his voice. The devil is a master at deception, and we as believers are encouraged to not be deceived, but to know the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. This is going to have to be a year of really, what? Pressing in to know what God is saying, to hear his voice. We have heard it said, knowing what you stand for limits what you fall for. There's a sense of caution and admonition in this year's theme to draw near to God that he may draw near to us. I heard that from testimonies this morning. It's a matter of real estate. It's a matter of location. When you draw near to a point of reference, then it's going to draw near you. But if anything moves, guess what? The point of reference is not moving. It's us. So if someone moved, guess who moved? It wasn't God. It's us. Sometimes, you know, we get a little squirrely. We get a little rebellious. But God, our reference, does not move. We do. Paul wrote the Philippians and encouraged them to stand firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, in no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but a salvation for you, and that too from God. This is a time for renewal and commitment to prayer. devotion, and communion to Jesus, the great shepherd of our souls. It is imperative that we, God's children, exhibit spiritual discernment of good and evil and allow the very power of the Holy Spirit to pierce the dark and deceptive assaults of Satan. May we stand by Jesus in the fullness of the meaning and implications thereof and see the salvation only that He can impart in every moment of our daily lives. This year, let us declare along with David, "But Thou, O Lord, art a shield about me, my glory, and the one who lifts my head." Stand by me, I believe. The Lord is saying, there is an avalanche, there is an assault coming that is already present, that is most assuredly Antichrist. Most assuredly Satan is behind it. And Ted, when you were saying, and those of you that were saying, it's not like standing by God to help him out. It's standing with him and in him for this present evil that is coming against us, because the line is being drawn in the sand. The line is being drawn. Those are for God, step over here. Those are not, then you stay where you are in your lost convictions. How many of you know the story of Korah? And he was against Moses being a leader. He said, how about us? We also can minister before God as the priest of God. But God chose Moses, and so he challenged him. And so God told Moses, you separate Korah, all of his belongings, all his family and everything here. And Moses and those that were for God and the leadership of Moses to stand over here. And what happened to Korah? I mean, wow, the whole ground opened up and they were all swallowed up and went down into the bottomless pit and perished. The next day, though, they grumbled. The very next day, they grumbled. And so, we really need to hear, we really need to be standing for everything and in everything that Jesus Christ has stood for. We need to know Him in His death, His burial, and His resurrection. We need to experience it. We need to die to self and live to Him. Every moment of our lives, every situation that we face. An individual here today was sharing with me, it's just like bang, 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 like four different things. Major things going on in this person's life. Pretty major. How many of you can relate to a lot of things going on in your life? It seems like sometimes it just come in a little flood here. Sometimes spiritually, sometimes physically. Things happen to good people. Tough things happen to good people. Good people cry. Good people weep. Good people don't understand sometimes. Christians, people in love with Jesus, go through hard, difficult times that we do not understand now in the present. But if we abide, if we endure, if we keep looking to Him, though He slay me, yet I will praise Him, God makes sense out of it later. He connects the dots, and we just don't see it right now. Someone said one time that sometimes you're walking up and it's just unsurmountable. You see the toenail of an elephant, and you stand back and you see, wow, the rest of the picture. There's a lot more there. And so, may it be a year to really serve the Lord regardless and irregardless of what's going on in our lives. And don't be so conditional in your love relationship to the Lord. But may it be truly unconditional that you're going to stand by Him regardless. And stand with Him and stand on Him and stand in Him and be devoted to Him regardless of what happens. Because the enemy sometimes comes in like a flood to kill, steal, and to destroy our relationship with the Lord. I sense this is a message of admonition as well as caution to really turn it up, to really raise the bar. A year of prayer, a year of seeking God for clarification, to seek God as to allowing Him to have access to every room in our life, every compartment,
every little closet, every little attic, every place. A year to really welcome Him to be Lord of our lives. Because of what I see, a feel, a sense coming against the church. Let me give you a physical example. America went into Iraq. We went in there with our power, our might, our munitions, our expertise, our technology, our everything that you could imagine, America's great might and wealth and power. We went in there. And we cut out the poison or the core of Saddam Hussein and his evilness and the very putrefaction that was there. And we cut it out and we tore down his statues and we wanted to establish what democracy. We don't want Iraq. We don't want to stay there and say now this is Iraq USA or make it a state. We just wanted to establish a democracy there. And right now, how many of you have heard what's going on over there? Al-Qaeda. Malicious. Horrendous. It's like we were there with our force and might, and we kept them back. We kept them back as long as we were there. But when you pull out of all that information and all that power and all that ability to keep the dikes strong so that, like New Orleans, doesn't get flooded. You know, you keep them built up, you keep them buttressed and fortress, and you keep the enemy at bay. But right now, there's some horrific things going on to where Al-Qaeda's coming in and taking over all that we did to get them out. And that, to me, if I was a soldier, I would really feel that. But that's the mentality. That mentality is all backed by Satan, because it all works through religion. Jihad. Holy war. The great Satan, America. The great West, evil. Woe to those who call good bad, or good evil and evil good. And so Satan is there wanting to recapture and take over and abuse these precious people, these souls. And many of them want. We know people who know them. They want freedom. They want to go to school. They want the freedom of the women and to be able to become doctors and teachers and go to class freely and not be so suppressed. But Islam is behind it. Jihad is behind it. And there's a tremendous effort to do away with any good whatsoever that has been done. Folks, I want to say, I believe that's a physical example of America wants to be inhabited by evil. And the enemy wants to inhabit the temples of God. And there's an assault right now against everything that God stands for. He's coming even into the religiosity of our day, into the papacy, who's becoming softer in his stand against things that God has said is abomination. The sexual orientations and all, they're becoming softer. And church after church is falling into this great deceptive pit. I want to share a scripture with you that is so powerful. It's not new. It's from ancient times. It's a scripture that tells us what Satan wants to do and that he is doing it. So we can look at Iraq and see all the things that are going on over there. But the same things are going on in our back door. Here in America, through our politicians, they're being duped, they're being deceived.
Oh, that we had spines in Washington that were able to stand. And there are good people in Washington. There are people that fear God in Washington. And I thank God there are. But we have some wimps too. If you would turn with me to this scripture that is so powerful to give us understanding. In Psalm 83. Psalm 83. Verses 1 through 5, and then we're going to go through 12 through 18. But 1 through 5, Psalm 83. And watch this. Watch this, church. O God, do not remain quiet. Do not be silent. And O God, do not be still. Now, do you think, I know God is saying this, David is praying for God not to be still and quiet. Do you think that also God is saying to his church, don't be still and don't be quiet? He says, I want people to stand by me in this time. I want Debbie, where she is, to stand by me. I want her to stand in me. I want her to know me. I want her to be able to open her mouth or act as I lead her to act. Whatever that action is. Sometimes it's not words. Sometimes it's action that speaks louder than words. The church needs not to be still and tucked away someplace and disquieted. So he's praying for God not to be quiet, but who does God work through, people? He works through us. He doesn't want us, his church. God speaks through us. Do not be silent, O God. Do not be still. For verse 2, for behold, thine enemies make an uproar, and those who hate thee have exalted themselves. Can you imagine anyone hating God? Except Satan. And then his influence reaches to the free will of the people. Wow. Verse 3, they make shrewd plans against thy people and conspire together against thy treasured ones. They have said, come, let us wipe them out as a nation, that the name of Israel be remembered no more. And you have heard those expressions. People do not want Israel, they want Israel beheaded. You know that. The Islamic world in the Middle East wants Israel beheaded. But we are the church today, you know. Jews and Gentiles alike are the church today. So Satan wants us beheaded as well. He wants us silence. Wants us to be quiet. For they have conspired together, verse 5, with what? One mind. They are united. Against thee only do they make a covenant. Now, go to verse 12 through 18. Now listen to this. They have said, who said, let us possess for ourselves the pastures of God, or the houses of God. Let us possess for ourselves the pastures of God. What's your Bible say? Anyone else got another translation? It's talking about the people of God, the pastures of God, the houses of God. Carolyn?
Let us take possession of the pasture lands of God.
That which is of God, let us take possession of. Not only is that going on in a democracy effort in Iraq, but it's going on in our nation today and around the world and even in the church. Satan wants to possess the very temples, the very pastures, the very people of God. I mean, focus, right? There's no guessing what he's up to. Have you seen this working in your life at times, or around you, or in your home, wanting to cause dispersion and division, and even in your home, over the silliest of the silliest, most silliest of the most silliest of the most Mickey Mouse of silliest things? What in the world are we arguing about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Isn't that true? Mm-hmm. See, Satan wants to possess your joy in the Lord. He He wants to possess your confidence in the Lord. He wants to dispossess your confidence and your faith in Jesus Christ. He wants to discourage you. And if he could come in to the very temples of God, the very houses of God, the very lands of God, the very pastures of God, he will do it in the most sly, hideous way. Crazy. That's my job. I always do that. Why are you doing that? Well, I just thought I'd draw bath water for Addie tonight. I know somebody else may do it, but I'm doing it tonight. No, we don't have that issue. I'm just crazy. You know I do not like lemon in my tea. I like to put it in. I don't want you putting it in. And I like a cut lemon. I don't want you getting that lemon juice and putting it in my tea. I like to do that myself. Why are you doing that? And do you think that person did that on purpose? You know I do not like salami in my sandwich. I hate salami. You know that. We've been married for 40 years. What are you doing? And you just come from your prayer closet.
Ouch.
I hired a man to pressure wash this driveway. You know that vehicle has an oil drip, and I told you to park over there, and you dripped on my driveway. An oil drip. Yeah, but I just paid $150 to have it all pressure washed, and you know I told you to park over there. Well, maybe they just had a brain hiatus. Where's the compassion? Where's the compassion? We want compassion, but we don't want to show it. I'm just trying to make it real how Satan wants to possess the pastors of God, the very presence, the very temples of God. And that's how he does it. But you see, that's no big deal if that happens like once in a very blue moon. What's a blue moon? That's when a month has two full moons, right? So it happens once in a while, twice a year or whatever. But what about the foxy little things that keep doing this and just keeps hammering? And who's been in my office? You know somebody's been in my office because I don't put my stapler there. I put my stapler up here in this little coven hole. And by the way, my stapler is empty. Somebody's been using my stapler. Not only did they empty it, but they didn't put it back where it's supposed to be. Foxes. 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 You ratty little foxes. Don't use that printer paper. That is some high quality bond paper, man. Use this little stuff. Do you get it? Satan wants to possess our thoughts, our love interaction toward one another. Love does not even take into an account of a wrong suffered. Church?
Yes. True.
But Satan wants you to take into account a wrong suffered. See, that's why this theme this year, Stand By Me, has meaning. Because we need, if we're standing by Jesus, he's going to let you know that you're the idiot and not them. The problem is with you. And what does it matter if your stapler is out or if it's placed in the wrong place? You know, we can have understanding. Things need to be in a certain place. I understand that. But right now, what difference does it make to cause such consternation among a family as something as Mickey Mouse and silly and stupid as that? And later on, a lot of times we can stand back and laugh about that. But in a moment, we're kind of hot. Mm-hmm.
Yes. True.
Toilet seat up, toilet seat down. That has caused a lot of problems. It's just crazy. But see, I want to make it so real, this possessing of something so good that God has for us. I just want to make it so real. This is how it happens, folks. This is how it happens. It It's just crazy. Who said in verse 12, "Let us possess for ourselves the pastures of God." You lying devil. You want what I have, don't you? But he knows he can't have it. He can never be saved. He can never go to heaven, which is where he was before he was kicked out. Never. So he wants to what? Recruit. He wants to recruit people. He wants them depressed. He wants them downcast. He never wants harmony or the love of God filling and flooding a home in every heart. He doesn't want that. He wants disharmony. Love does not take into account a wrong suffered. Anyone care to explain that? What part of that do we not understand? And how many times do we take an account of what he said or she said, and the next time they do that, I'm going to bring it out because I got it in my journal. And I'm going to let you know, tit for tat. There are times, and I want to say, I admit to you, there are times when I wanted to write down something that Shirley had done or said so that I can bring it back next time. But I even said to her, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go there because when you start doing that, you're playing his game, the devil's game. You have your journal, I'll have mine. So let's sit down and compare it. Pluses and minuses. We do the math. You did more boo-boos than me, so now I get to point the finger at you. And so what have you proven? You certainly haven't proven anything to do with what God tells me about what he talks about, his love. Does not even take into an account a wrong suffered. And how many times have we done that? Wow. Oh my God. Here's a prayer now about that attitude, about the adversary, about the enemy. Here's the prayer against that. Oh my God, make them like the whirling dust, like chaff before the wind. Like fire that burns the forest, and like a flame that sets the mountains on fire. So pursue them with thy tempest and terrify them with thy storm. You know how you can terrify Satan as a storm, as a firestorm, and making all this consternation go away like a whirlwind of dust? In the name of Jesus, I am not going there. I am not going to get sucked into the plan of the enemy who wants to possess the pastures of God. Look at this prayer. David understands this warfare. He had been caught up in it. You know that. But he was a man, the Bible says, after the heart of God. Are you after the heart of God? Anyone? Raise your hand if you're after the heart of God. I believe that. I believe that. But do you have times when Satan wants to possess this joy, this faith, this walk, this conviction, this devotion, this communion that you have with the Lord? Do you understand how Satan wants to come in and just really reign on your life and bring in so much trouble? So here's how we do battle. We talk about prayer in the handout. It needs to be, we need to really turn it up. We need to raise the bar. We need to commune with the Lord this year because it's coming. It's here. It's arrived. Recently, someone told me that in the church they were, a prophecy came forth and said, we just have to look to the Lord because I believe it when I see it. I believe it when God shows me. But the prophecy in that church was the beast has been released. I really felt that. And the implication there is, he can't do what he wants to do. How many of you know you can have a pit bull with all the big old barbs around his collar and everything else, spikes, and he can be a real bad guy, but he can't do anything unless he's released. See, God controls Satan. And he will be released, and the beast and everything that's going on here as the days go by, only by God's Spirit will he be released. Yes. He just can't do what he wants to do. He has to have permission. And that prophecy was shared with me recently that the beast has been released. Well, don't let the beast be released in your life. If you want to make it one-on-one, don't let that come forth. Don't let you have his way. Stand by Jesus. Stand with him. Stand on him. Stand in reverence to him. Stand in obedience to him. And look at this prayer. Oh my God, verse 13, make them like the whirling dust, like the chaff before the wind. Like fire that burns the forest, and like a flame that sets the mountains on fire. So pursue them with thy tempest, and terrify them with thy storm. In the name of Jesus, I come against you. You powers of darkness, you have no place here. Get out. And you take that authority and you send the fire of God after the evil that is out to destroy you. Now he'll sure try. And then, after you do all that, don't be surprised if you hear something like, out! Don't be surprised if you hear. He left Jesus. Remember, he left Jesus for a season.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And he keeps reappearing. Mm-hmm. In the desert, in the wilderness. He keeps reappearing. And Jesus is casting them out too. Have you come before the time? And they asked permission to go into the pigs or whatever, and Jesus would cast them out and they would call his name. We know who you are, the Holy One of Israel. I've said this before. If anyone wants to know about the reality of Jesus, the reality of the spiritual world and demons and Satan, then you can read in the scriptures about what they said about Jesus. They knew him in heaven before they were cast out. When they were cast out, they still knew him. We know who you are, thou Son of David. And they had to ask permission. And he would tell them to shut up. He would tell them to be quiet and come out. And sometimes they would ravage a person and they would cast them out. But they would be set free and healed. Do you know? Did they have a burial for Satan? Not a physical one, but Jesus sure did. He took the keys of death, hell, and the grave from Satan. He overcame him. He conquered him. But he still has a season to do his thing on this earth. We know that, but he's been defeated. Wow. Wow. Fill their faces, verse 16, with dishonor, that they may seek thy name. In other words, God, go after them, that they would even get to a point where they still have some kind of breath in there to seek you, Lord. It says in verse 16, what mercy? Fill their faces with dishonor that they may seek thy name, O Lord. See, God's always wanting to the very last breath of a soul, and the thief on the cross is the perfect example. He doesn't want to. He could destroy us all in a heartbeat. His goal is to save. So it says, God, go after them, and it says that they may seek thy name, O Lord. Even David's prayer is a prayer of compassion. But not many people want to do that, do they? In verse 17, let them be ashamed and dismayed forever, and let them be humiliated and perish, that they may know that thou alone, whose name is the Lord, art the Most High over all the earth. I believe with all my heart this year, this expression, this message to stand by me, is very significant because of what we see happening in the world today. Satan knows that his time is short. His desire is to kill, steal, and to destroy. And how many of you are on to him more now than you ever were before? You're on to him more. And you know you have the power over all the power of the enemy to not allow him to rule and reign in your daily life, in your hearts, in everything that we do every day in our lives, in our homes, in our work, in our play. That's where the life is. Love does not take into account a wrong suffered. But I do. And the Lord says, yeah, I know you do. I know you are right now. But love doesn't. You do, but love does not. But Satan wants you to abandon that love, to overcome, and to give in to it, and to bring out what? Animosity? Help me out. Animosity? Unforgiveness? Huh?
Dissension?
Factions? Hate? All these type of things is what he wants to bring out. But God's love, not yours, God's love does not take into account all the wrong that is suffered. The unfolding of thy words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. And when it says simple here, it doesn't mean simpleton. It just talks about a humble soul. Right, Mike? Not simpletons. Humble. Stay humble. It gives light. It gives understanding. But I'm telling you right now, the world is not interested in the unfolding, Drew, of God's Word. It's not interested in the unfolding of all this wisdom that you have to share with them. They're not interested. Because why? They think, and they've been deceived, that there is no God. There's no right, there's no wrong. And I want to share this with you. It's a really powerful example. I was on a property recently, and there are rules. There are homeowners associations on a lot of properties to keep the place sane, to keep it decent. If you're not, everybody, you know, this guy's got goats and this guy's got pigs and, you know, whatever. I got a clothesline and they don't. And, you know, I want to build a whatever. I want to build a horse barn next to my house in this home, in this development. You got to have homeowner association. You got to have rules. Anyhow, the president of association went to these people and talked to them about their late night parties and all the stuff and the distraction that's going on. And the people happened to be young people staying in a house owned by one of the young people's parents. Allowed them to stay there. And this is what the young person said. You're picking on us because we're young. Now help me out.
No, it's because you're stupid.
Help me out here, because if I'm a young person and I want to go down Del Mabry at 125 miles an hour, and a cop pulls me over, and I say to him, you're picking on me as a young person because I'm young. He'd probably laugh his head off. Or, I ran that stop sign, yeah, because I'm in a hurry. Why'd you stop me? You're picking on me because I'm a young person. Absolutely. It doesn't matter what sexual gender we are, or whether we're male or female, whether we're young or old, rules are rules. And so I want to say this. This is a powerful thing what this person said to this president. This young person said to the president, you're picking on me because I'm young. There's a feeling that, yeah, I know you have rules and you may have your God, but right now I'm having fun, and why are you stopping me from having fun? Why do you want to stop me from changing my sexual gender? Why do you want to stop me from doing something that your God says is abomination? I want to marry her. I want to marry him, and I'm a guy. And I want to marry her, and I'm a girl. And why do you want to stop me from having fun? I pay my taxes. I do my thing. Well, I'm not trying to stop anybody from doing anything. I'm just sharing what God says. That's all. All we need to do is stand by Jesus and say what he says. And if we don't, what does the Lord say? Woe be unto those that are stumbling blocks on these others, and woe be unto those who do not bring forth my word as I brought it to you, and you don't bring it forth. Then woe be unto us if we cannot proclaim the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God uses people. But can you see the battle lines are being drawn? And like I said, with Iraq, we pull out, all the dikes start leaking, the police force there are intimidated, they're killed, they're murdered, their families are murdered, and that all diminishes. And there's no infrastructure. There's no all the stuff that we tried to do to refurbish hospitals and schools and all these things just go to waste. But may there be, by the power and the Spirit, Holy Spirit, a great revival taking place in these Muslim nations and for people to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because if you're changed from within, the outward actions change. They don't do what they used to do or want to do, this evil. Wow. I want to go on to another scripture here and close shortly, because I think it's very important to understand something here that Paul said to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 3. How many of you know that daily we are growing and it is a process? It's be patient with each other. Yeah, I know I did that 10 times, but why are you drawing the line right now and saying that 10 is it? That's 10 times, that's it. Who gave you the authority to say, that's my 10th time and that's it? That's the 10th time you left a glass ring on my little table that was given to me, an heirloom by my great Aunt Susie. A little Mickey Mouse ring of your little moist glass without putting a coaster on that precious table. That's the 10th time. That's it. You're out of here. You're going to kick him or her out for an heirloom? Well, some people may do that. Be so compassionate, so in love with the item, the creature, and not their creator. Is it really worth it? I know someone right now who has a big old garage and they can't use it, but it's full of other people's OPS, other people's stuff. They haven't had use of their garage in many years. They probably like it. But I'm going to give you a deadline, boy. I'm going to give you a deadline, girl. Come January 31st, if that ain't out of here, I'm going to blow it all up. Evidently, this person has been proven to not care so much about that being everything, and then God's compassion and mercy being everything. But God will take care of all of us in due time with situations and won't let us be so much in a tizzy over some things. Wow. Philippians 3. Let's get through that and we're going to close. We've got roast and we've got spaghetti going and chicken yellow rice and bulichi and picadillo, whatever. Paul says, finally, my brethren, rejoice, Philippians 3, in the Lord. To write the same things, again, is no trouble to me, and it is a safeguard for you. Beware, and this is what we're talking about, because they're there. Beware of the dogs, beware of the evil workers, beware of the false circumcision. We have a lot of false circumcision in the church today. A lot of religious people, their heart's not circumcised into the Lord. They're doing all the outward ritualistic stuff, physical stuff, but they're not circumcised of heart. Beware. It's in the church today and they're giving way to the onslaught of Satan. For we are the true circumcision, who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Once again, love does not take into account a wrong suffered. Those who are circumcised unto Jesus, it's like water off a duck's back. I don't really care. But we do have rules, and we do need to have rules, and we need to have understanding to make sanity out of a home life, that's for sure. But wisdom needs to be imparted in every given situation and not wrath of the flesh. Although myself might have confidence even in the flesh, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. While circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, Paul goes into all the things of his past and his life as a Jew. And then he says in verse 7, whatever things were gained to me, these things I have counted loss for the sake of Christ. For the sake of Christ, for the gospel of Jesus Christ, and for your life this year, we need to stand very close to Jesus. We need to stand in Him, on Him, for Him, and walk with Him in obedience this year. Well, haven't we had to do that before? Yes. God is just reminding us. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus as my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and may be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. Peter, why did you get into my boat with those stinking muddy shoes again? That's where I was going to sit. And yet you stood on my seat. What is up, Peter? Do you think those kind of things went on with them? I count all things but lost. Well, my boat is just a boat. I can clean it up. You know, I count all things but lost. Do you think that Paul knew what he's talking about when he said that? I think so. I can't imagine him having a reaction that way against Peter in his learning process. Wow. In verse 10, that I may know him and the power of the resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being conformed into his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection of the dead, not that I have already obtained it, or have already become perfect or mature here. That's the word, mature. But I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which I also was laid hold of. Anyone care to amplify that a little bit? What is he talking about here? He wants to lay hold of him who has laid hold of him, Paul. Can you? Anyone care to say something about that? In light of what we're talking about here, standing by Jesus has everything to do with wanting to own what He has done to me. I want to lay hold of Him as He has laid hold of me. I want to know Him, His death, His burial, His resurrection. I want to stand by Him. I want to stand up for Him. I want to pray for our politicians, pray for our generals, pray for whatever's going on with whatever can be done to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ in this earth. There's nothing wrong with wanting to set up a democracy. I mean, it's a good thing. Let the people have the freedom to worship freely and all. But you have so many bang, 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 you know, incarcerations and murders and crazy trials over people who just want to serve the Lord in some parts of our world. And there are people, brave men and women, that want to go out and make a difference. But we're in a warfare. We're in a warfare, folks. It's in our back door. You see the physical, you also see the spiritual. We must stand by Jesus closer than ever before and see the salvation of the Lord in our daily life. We could go on and on and on. That's not the idea to go on and on with scriptures. The idea is to go on and on and on with Jesus. That's what we want to do. And I just want to close today by encouraging anyone and everyone listening to this message today. It would be very, very life imparting to you to want to stand with the Lord, stand by Him, stand in Him, stand for Him. If you've never made that decision to follow Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you to do so. For in Jesus Christ, only in him is eternal life, and no one comes to the Father but through the Son. Make it your business to make that decision today. God bless you.